The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show.
Buck Benny, a two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2021. Welcome to the second of our second season episodes of The Big Show. And this week we're going to settle into it being on its normal spot of Saturday night here on our Jack Benny podcast. I hope you're enjoying these episodes. This one takes place in Paris. And this episode is notable for being one of the two that take place over in Europe. The first one was in London, and this one is in Paris. And both shows cost about $75,000 each, which is a tremendous amount of money back in the day. This episode, of course, Love Tallulah Bankhead, and Fred Allen is its main stars. And I hope you're going to enjoy it, and I'll just let you enjoy the show.
From the stage of the Empire Theatre, just off the Champs-Élysées in the heart of Paris, France, you are about to be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business. For the next hour and 30 minutes, you will hear such bright stars as...
Fred Allen.
Josephine Baker.
Gracie Fields.
Joan Fontaine.
Bill Gargan.
Fernand Gravet.
Georges Guettari.
Portland Hopper.
George Sanders.
Meredith Wilson.
And my name, darlings, is Tallulah Bankhead.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show.
The Big Show is a hurry, where everything is ready, when no news did you follow full of time.
Tonight, the National Broadcasting Company presents transcribed the second Big Show program of the 1951-52 season. Just 25 years ago, NBC was formed. And as a part of its silver anniversary celebration, it has sent the Big Show across the seas to visit in London and Paris as an expression of the friendship that exists between the people of France, England, and America.
This first half hour of the Big Show is brought to you by the Reynolds Metals Company, one of America's great producers of aluminum. You know, our own wondrous aluminum age in America began just 10 years ago, when Reynolds, long the leading makers of aluminum foil, at last brought competition into aluminum production. It's only since then, with competition keeping production up and price down, that you've come to see aluminum everywhere. In planes, in buses, streamlined trains, on farm and factory roofs, in refrigerators, washing machines, automobiles, in the bright foil packages on your pantry shelves. And of course, in that pure aluminum foil miracle. The original and genuine Reynolds Wrap. Another of the many ways in which your life is brightened by Reynolds Aluminum.
And here she is, the star of the Big Show, the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, darlings, this is it. A Paris, a gay, a mad, intoxicating. And the food, darling. Everything is served in wine sauce. I haven't eaten so much gravy in years. And everyone eats their meals in those sidewalk cafes. Why, it's nothing to see a whole family sitting at a table on the sidewalk having dinner. Here, it's considered a distingué. In New York, it's considered dispossessed. But I managed to get a room, and before I could even unpack, the telephone rang. It was wrong number. I had dinner with them that night. Well, why not, darling? It's hands across the sea. And did he have hands? Four, I believe. He met me at my hotel with flowers in one hand, champagne in another hand, perfume in another, and in the fourth hand, chocolate bars. That's the hand you've got to watch. And he's so wealthy. He has millions and millions of francs.
Say, would he be interested in a little mustard to go along with those francs?
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Fred Allen.
Thank you.
Fred, I was talking about French money.
Well, I was talking about French mustard, Tallulah. But I've been scrutinizing this French money very carefully. You know, the bills are printed on the thinnest paper I have ever seen in public.
Yes, I know. I know what you mean, Fred. I was spending Kleenex for 3 days before I found out it wasn't money.
You blew in quite a bit of money, did you? Well, so did I, Tallulah. You know, I've been trying to eat up $500 worth of food. That's all they allow you to take out of the country, you know, $500 worth of anything.
Well, have you tried the food at the Ritz Hotel, Fred?
No, I tell you, I've been meaning to go there, but I can't find the Ritz. You know, there's no sign in front of it.
Oh, it's a very exclusive hotel, darling.
Oh, I should say so. It's so exclusive that that if you can't find out where it is, they don't even want you in there.
Well, they have a wonderful, wonderful wine cellar at the Ritz.
Everybody has a wonderful wine cellar in Paris, Tallulah. I understand that there are 200 million drunken mice staggering around the streets here.
How about you? Are you having a gay time in Paris?
Well, I would have, except I brought along the wrong things.
Well, what for instance?
Well, my wife, for instance.
Now, Fred, you know you don't mean that. Come here, Portland. Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Fred Allen, known professionally as Courtland Hoffer. Now, you tell us, Portland, have you and Fred been having a gay time here in Paris?
So far, we've been to Napoleon's tomb and the tomb of Marshal Foch and to the Pantheon where all the French statesmen are buried. They sure know how to live here.
Is that the best Fred could dig up for you, Portland? Hasn't Fred shown you any of the gay life of Paris?
Yes. Yesterday, he took me to a foreign movie. An American picture with French titles. So we could understand what was going on.
You've been hitting it up, haven't you, dear?
Portland, you're holding up proceedings with these precious bon mots about your life and times in gay Paris. Now, we have a show to do here. NBC has sent a lot of people over here to Paris, technicians, actors, musicians, writers, producers, directors, executives, so many, in fact, that some people in Europe are getting a little worried. They're afraid the Marshall Plan has run out of money and is starting to send over people now.
Was celebrating its 2,000th birthday.
Oh, I don't blame you, Portland. I think Paris is divine. Paris, he is so exciting. He is so alive. He is so full of joie de vivre.
Wait a minute. Wait, what do you mean he? Paris is a she, a woman.
Don't be silly, darling. No woman will admit to being 2,000 years old. And now, darlings, I want you to meet a woman who represents everything that is typically Parisienne. An American by birth, she came to this country some years ago and fell in love with Paris, even as Paris fell in love with her. It was no mere idle flirtation. It has been a lasting romance between Paris and the exotic Josephine Baker.
Merci, merci, Tallulah. You're so sweet and so kind.
Yes, I know. Josephine, je désire être votre amie. Alors, chantez, s'il vous plaît.
Tallulah, what are you trying to say?
What do you mean, what am I trying to say? I'm speaking to you in French, and I speak French like a native.
Like a native of Finland.
All right, Buster, if that's the way you want it, sing your song, darling.
Paris told me to tell you, Paris told me to give you her compliments, her kind regards, and all her love. Paris is your good pal, who's waiting for you. Mon les chipigales autant passer les halles d'Opera, Champs-Élysées, Eiffel Tower told me to say bonjour from your gay Paris. Paris, dans un sourire, m'a dit d'aller vous dire qu'il pense à vous souvent et vous envoie tout son amour. Paris m'a dit aussi que je vous embrasse. Mon mât, les chipigales, fauteuil, passez les halles. Le Louvre, la Tour Eiffel et l'Opéra m'a dit de vous dire bonjour. La parole de Paris.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, what do you say if we go on a trip? If we go to Havana, Cuba.
Tu me quieres, yo te quiero, tu me adoras, yo te adoro.
Te quieres, te quiero, me adoras, te adoro. Esta es felicidad.
Tu me besas, yo te beso, tu me miras, yo te miro.
Me besas, te beso, me miras, te miro. Esta es felicidad, felicidad. Es querer, si ya ti, felicidad. Es querer mi a mí.
Tú me quieres, yo te quiero, tú me adoras, yo te adoro.
Te quieres, te quiero, me adoras, te adoro. Esto es felicidad, felicidad. Es querer ti a ti, felicidad. Es querer mi a mí.
Tú me quieres, yo te quiero, tú me adoras,
yo te adoro, te quieres, te quiero, me adoras, te adoro, esto es felicidad. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say bonsoir. Mon pays et Paris par toujours. Mon cœur est ravi, ma savane est belle. Mais à toi, volunier, ce qui m'enfole celle-ci, Paris, Paris, tout entier.
Le roi m'a joué, c'est mon rêve joli. Je veux t'amour.
Mon pays. Il
America and France share the honor of discovering the commercial process for making aluminum. But it takes more than invention to make American progress. It takes competition. Only since Reynolds brought in competition have you seen aluminum become, for instance, a major building material. Reynolds Lifetime Aluminum Roofing and Siding now covers farm buildings and factories all over the country. Rust-proof, heat-reflective, needing no paint. Reynolds Aluminum Windows are the pride and joy of homeowners everywhere. And insulation. Say, do you know you can pick up two rolls of Reynolds Aluminum Foil insulation and do an average-size attic yourself on your Saturday off? Costs little, does wonders. It saves winter fuel and keeps you cool all summer. Reynolds Lifetime Aluminum Gutters and Downspouts are another modern improvement you can put up yourself. Light to handle, they need no soldering, and of course, no painting. And speaking of paint, you know how rust streaks from ordinary nails can ruin a fine paint job? Use Reynolds Lifetime Aluminum Nails. Whatever you're building, build it better with aluminum. Reynolds Aluminum.
Some weeks ago, France and the world of the theatre lost a great man, Louis Jouvet, distinguished actor, writer, and director. Tonight, as a tribute to Monsieur Jouvet, we have selected Fernand Gravé, Françoise Rosé, Richard Rolla, Grégoire Asselin to appear in one of Jouvet's great hits, Dr. Canuck. Dr. Canuck is a play set in the mountain district of France, a little town where patients are much too healthy up to now for the good of any doctor's pocketbook. As the play opens, we join old Dr. Papelet in the roomy interior of his vintage 1902 motor car, stalled in the road near the town. As he explains some of the trade secrets of his practice to his successor, young Dr. Canuck.
Well, so... the motor has decided to misbehave again, and we'll have to wait, Dr. Knott. But as I am saying, I sold you my practice here for a song.
Yes, yes, Dr. Papelet, but we were talking about diseases.
Oh, so we were. Well, take pleurisy and pneumonia. Neither is common. The air here, you can feel it, is bracing, very bracing. If you are a weakly child, you die in your first 6 months. Before the doctor has time to do much for you. If you survive your first 6 months, well, you take a lot of killing.
But you've not made your fortune, I take it, by writing out death certificates.
No, no, no. No, but at Saint-Michel, the books usually look very well indeed.
I beg your pardon?
The people here pay at the festival of Saint-Michel, the 29th of September.
Oh, and today's October the 3rd. What a good time to choose for parting with the practice. But tell me, they come to your dispensary. They pay cash, don't they?
No, 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 no. Once a year on Saint-Michel, the 29th of September. It's a custom.
Yes, but if they come just once and you're never going to see them again.
Most of them, of course, only do come once.
Oh. Well, what about the regular patients in Saint-Maurice?
What? Patients who come calling like the butcher and the baker? Oh, oh, my dear Dr. Knock, when you've had a little more experience, believe me, you will find this the very best type of practice, for it leaves you so free.
Yeah. My dear Dr. Parpalet, you've sold me for some 4,000 francs, which I still owe you,
yes.
A practice which I may liken to your motor car here. At 19 francs, it would not be dear. At 25, it would. Now, come, I'll be reckless. I'll give you 30 for it.
30 francs for my car? I wouldn't set it for 6,000.
Well, then keep it with my blessings. And I'd say the same for your practice if I could.
You don't intend to pay me, but you've agreed to.
My dear doctor, I shall be most anxious to pay you. But lying awake at night won't bring the 29th of September any nearer, will it?
But you've money of your own.
Not a penny.
Oh,
I live on what I earn. At least the sooner I can begin, the better. And what really vexes me is that I had, and I have, a new and original idea for improving this practice of yours.
Oh.
But one cannot improve what doesn't exist. However, there might be more ways than one, perhaps.
Oh, certainly, certainly. You mustn't sit down under a little disappointment, which, believe me, my dear sir, only springs from your inexperience. A doctor's calling can be made a most lucrative one, all in good time, in good time. I'll even be patient about what you owe me.
All right, Doctor. Here it is, then. I've got a hunch that you've made a mess of a magnificent opportunity. No people could be as healthy as your patients. What they need is a little help to be sick. If you had done the proper kind of scientific persuasion, you should be leaving now with your pocket full of gold. You should be bulging behind and before with banknotes and bonds.
My dear Dr. Knuck, a minute ago the practice wasn't worth a franc. Now it's a gold mine. Hold on, hold on. She's ready to run.
I'm holding on, Doctor. Let her go.
I'll be back in 3 months for my first installment, Doctor.
You are the town crier?
Yes, Dr. Knuck.
I have a job for you. Here's what I want you to cry. Dr. Knuck, who has now taken over Dr. Parpalet's practice, presents his compliments to the inhabitants of Saint-Maurice and begs to inform them that in the public interest and with the hope of checking the alarming increase of those diseases which for the last few years have been spreading through the once healthy district...
Ah, that's true. So they have.
He will give from 9:30 to 11:30 every Monday morning free consultation and advice to the aforesaid inhabitants of Saint-Maurice. And you, madam, do you belong to the district?
I do. The big farm on the road to Luchère.
Well, a farm like that now means a lot of work.
Oh, it does.
And even with help, it doesn't leave you much time to look after yourself, does it?
No, indeed.
And you feel ill? Show me your tongue. Bend over. Breathe. Breathe. Now cough, will you? Cough again. Did you... Yes. Did you ever fall off a ladder when you were young?
Oh, I don't remember.
Ever feel a pain here in the small of your back? At night, when you're getting into bed. A sort of a cramp.
Yes. Sometimes.
Now, try and remember. It might have been quite a big ladder.
It would have been.
9 feet high, say? And placed against the wall? And you fell backwards? Pump? That's where you caught it. On the left one, luckily.
Was it?
Do you realize what's wrong with you?
No.
That's all as well, perhaps. Now, you want to be cured, or don't you want to be cured?
Oh, I do.
Let me warn you at once, it will be a very long and a very costly business.
Oh, good Lord. Why will it?
Because the trouble that's been going on for 40 years can't be cured in 5 minutes.
But I can't afford much treatment.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I can keep you under observation. That'll cost next to nothing. Then at the end of a week, say, you'll know yourself how you're feeling, worse or better. And then you can make up your own mind.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Good. Now go back home. Tell me, did you drive here?
Oh, no. I walked.
Oh, well, find somebody to drive you back. Go to bed when you get there. Have the shutters closed and the blinds pulled down. Now, you'll eat no solids for a week. A glass of water every 2 hours. And if you must, half a biscuit. Not more. Soaked in milk, warm milk, morning and night. And to tell you the truth, I'd rather you went without the biscuit. Well, at the end of the week, we'll see how you are. If you feel quite yourself again, spry and ready for anything, we shall know that things are less serious than we have reason to suppose. But if, on the other hand, you're rather weak, rather run down, head swimming a little, wanting to stay in bed, then we mustn't delay any longer. We'll have to start a full course of treatment.
I suppose so.
Good. Goodbye, madam. Here, sir. I'm going to show you what your inside is like. That represents the kidney of a healthy man. Your kidneys. Liver of a healthy man. Your liver. The heart of a healthy man. Your... No, your heart's even worse than that. Now, here's what we'll have to do. My dear madam, insomnia may come from a constant sapping of the gray matter of the brain by nerves that are diseased. Now, try and picture to yourself a sort of octopus, which nibbles at you and sucks at you and little by little drains away all the inside of your head.
Well, if it isn't the good Dr. Parfalle.
Yes, doctor, the 3 months are up. I've come for my installment.
Well, let me show you. I keep very careful record. Here we are. Patients seen weekly by me, and I'm leaving out those I see free on Mondays. Mid-October, 37.
What?
End of October, 90.
Oh.
End of November, 128.
You...
End of December, not added up yet, but it'll be over 150.
Do you mean to tell me that in 1 week here in this town, 150 people feel ill enough to come knocking at your door to ask advice and pay for it without anyone making them?
Well, the police don't bring them.
Oh.
Now, what is it, doctor? Don't you feel well? Is there something wrong?
No. Well, Dr. Knock, I don't want to make too much of it. But I've a reason for asking. I've been noticing one or two trifling things since I've been back in this town myself, which have, well, I mustn't say worried me, but I should rather like to know if my own observations fit in, so to speak, with your diagnosis.
My dear sir, for the moment, we'll let that be. 10 o'clock, I must begin my round. But you'll lunch with me, please? And as to the state of your health, and whatever may need to be done about it, we can go into that in my consulting room this afternoon at our leisure.
Our sincere thanks, Monsieur Gravet, to you and to your wonderful company for a distinguished performance and a touching tribute to the revered memory of the deeply loved Louis Jouvet. And now, Monsieur Gravet, will you come over here, as you play? Let's have a little chat, a strictly entre nous.
Yes, certainly, ma'am.
Fred, what are they talking about?
Shh. They're going to talk French, I think. Now, lucky for you, I have my little French dictionary here. Now, let me see. He said, certainement. I'll look that up. Certainement. That would be under S, wouldn't it?
What is it you wanted to speak to me about, Miss Bankhead?
Well, Monsieur Gravet, it's going to make it rather difficult if you're going to keep calling me Miss Bankhead. Why don't you call me Tallulah?
Thank you, Tallulah.
Well, what may I call you?
Oh, you may call me Monsieur Gravet.
What gall. And one more crack like that, and I'll be glad to divide you into 3 parts.
I have news for you. You will still have to address each part as Monsieur Gravet.
Well, it's not under S. Certainement. Well, maybe it's under C.
Well,
here.
Try C. I can't wait to hear what they're talking about.
All right. It must be under C. Certainement. C-U-R.
I was thinking of throwing a party at my hotel off the show tonight.
A party? Yes.
Would you be the party?
Well, here we are, Portland.
Hurry! Fred, what are they saying?
Certainement. Here it is, see?
Well, what does it mean?
It says here, certainement means natürlich.
Natürlich. Well, what does that mean?
Well, luckily, this is a French-German dictionary. Now, all we have to do is look up Natuli.
Well, I have an idea. If you don't want to come to my house, how about your house?
That's an excellent idea.
Now you go to your house and I go to my house.
Hey, here it is, Portland, Natulik.
But what does Natulik mean, Fred?
Well, this may come as a shock to you, Portland. Natulik means certainement.
Now, just a minute. Just a minute, Monsieur Gravé. Either you come to my house or I go to yours.
Very well, then, Tallulah. You're a guest in my country. You'll come to my house. Will you?
Oh, certainement. Shall I dress?
Natulik.
Over here in America, out in the farmlands, the pigs and chickens and cows are putting on some amazing demonstrations of aluminum. Yes, amazing and even amusing. Take pigs, for instance. A farmer put up one aluminum-roofed hoghouse among several of other materials. And on a hot day, those hogs crowd to get under the aluminum. Why? Because it's cooler. Yes, it's cooler in summer and warmer in winter. Which means more weight on hogs, more milk from cows, more eggs from hens. The farmer makes more money with Reynolds Lifetime Aluminum at the same time that he saves money on maintenance. Now, what's important to the farm is important to the country. Even with so much aluminum needed for military equipment, our civilian economy needs more aluminum too. That's why Reynolds is working full speed to increase production. Reynolds. Pioneers of progress through aluminum.
We'll be back in a moment, darling, just as soon as I ring my chime. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is The Big Show, transcribed from Paris. And here again is Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, darling, last week in London, we had a handsome, distinguished guest on the big show, and he was a tremendous hit. So NBC invited him to come to Paris and be on the show again. I refer, of course, to last year's winner, Mr. George Sanders. George, I can't tell you how thrilled I am that you're on our show again.
Why not?
What I mean to say is that I'm delighted you're here because there are so many questions I want to ask you about something. And you're the only one who can tell me what I want to know.
No. Well, I'm sorry, but I haven't seen her since we finished that picture, All About You.
Oh, you haven't seen her?
No, I haven't.
Well, I never could either.
Indeed.
Now, George, you've simply got to tell me how she behaved during that picture. You've got to tell me, George. You're the only friend I have, George.
Pity.
How did you get along with her, George?
Wonderfully well.
Now, George, don't tell me that. I'll bet she said plenty about me. She always says something about me. Don't tell me she didn't say something about me. Did she say anything about me, darling?
Only the kindliest things.
Kindly? Isn't that just like her? I know what she's trying to do. Ruin my reputation.
Isn't she a little late?
Ah, thank you, George. I knew you were on my side. And you'll be the first to admit that she practically did an impersonation of me.
No, I'll be the second. You're the first. If she did copy you, Tallulah, she may have unintentionally copied a few minor details.
Now, darling, I have no minor details.
As a matter of fact, Tallulah, and I say this with malice aforethought and more than a tinge of recrimination, you should be the last one to talk about being copied.
Oh, George, are you going back to that old chestnut about my having copied my style from Ethel Barrymore?
I was thinking rather of Lionel.
Why am I standing here wasting my time talking about the star of your picture? Wherever I go, people talk to me about her. She's been the bane of my existence, and I'm getting pretty sick and tired of hearing about her. And when you see in Hollywood, be sure to give her my love, won't you, darling?
May I start now?
No. You don't leave your George Sanders until you've sung for it. It's such a divine surprise to hear you sing last week. You're not getting away until you've sung for us again. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. George Sanders singing a song for which there have been absolutely no requests.
Well, I asked for that.
Oh, were you the one, darling? Well, you just listen to yourself sing Be My Love. Meredith, how about some music for our guest, the Silver Play? Thank you, George Sanders. None of us is perfect. And now, darling.
Oh, I thought he was perfect, Miss Bankhead.
Ladies and gentlemen, our maestro, Meredith Wilson. Now, what is your problem, Meredith?
Well, sir, Miss Bankhead, I happen to think Mr. Sanders... I wanted to say that I happen to think Mr. Sanders has quite a wonderful voice. And he can sing, too. And I'm a big admirer of yours, Mr. Sanders.
You too.
Well, I was watching you sing while I was leading the orchestra.
You watched him all through the race, darling?
Yes, I did. And not only do I like the way you sing, Mr. Sanders, but I like the way you dress. Your clothes.
Indeed.
Well, as a matter of fact, I noticed the suit you were wearing in London, too. So I went down and I bought myself this suit I'm wearing. You like it? It was made to order.
For whom?
Well, for me.
Oh. Did you go in alone when you bought it?
Well, sir, I'm glad you asked me that.
I'm not.
As a matter of fact, my wife went in with me when I ordered it.
Oh, it was made for her.
No, it was made for me. Her shoulders are much wider than mine. Mr. Sanders, do you like this style? It's called a sack suit.
And where are the ashes?
No, I guess you don't understand, Mr. Sanders. There are different styles of suits, you see. There's the English drape, the double-breasted, and then there's the sack suits, like this one. Do you like sacks, Miss Bankhead?
Whenever it rears its ugly head.
But the suit, don't you think it's becoming, Mr. Sanders?
Yes, but the question is, becoming what?
Well, you ought to like it, Mr. Sanders. It's a wonderful fabric. It's one of the worsteds.
It certainly is. Turn around, old man. Let me see the shoulders.
Oh, no, I don't want to take them out now, Mr. Sanders. See, I just had to get a new suit. You know that blue serge I've been wearing, don't you, Miss Bankhead?
Only to say hello to.
Well, sir, the pants of that suit were getting so shiny you could see your face in them.
No, I wouldn't stoop to that, darling.
And not only were they shiny, but I ripped them.
Well, you're in for 7 years of bad luck.
All right, Meredith, let's change the subject. Ladies and gentlemen, Meredith Wilson with the orchestra and chorus in a famous French song, Auprès de ma blonde, which is enjoying a revival in the States under the title, I Want to Be Near You.
Il fait bon, 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 il fait bon
Well, darlings, I simply must tell you about a most exciting experience I had the other day here in Paris. I was walking along the Champs-Élysées when suddenly I found myself in conversation with a dashing, attractive American. Pardon me, but haven't I seen you somewhere before?
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. My name is Bill Gardner.
Of course, Bill Gardner, the NBC radio and television star. How nice to see you again. And a nice view to carry your own applause along the Champs-Élysées.
I'm sorry, but you have the advantage of me.
And not yet, I haven't, darling. My name is Tallulah Bankhead.
Oh, sure, the radio announcer.
Isn't he sweet? Tell me, Bill, what are you doing in Paris?
Oh, I'm here on a holiday, seeing the sights, having a good time.
Well, wouldn't you like a gay, charming, attractive companion?
Well, I might. You know anybody?
Well, thank you, darling. I'd be glad to.
Oh, you mean, I didn't know you were talking. Well, that is, if you, I wasn't, what I meant...
When your gum's a good place to stop, stop.
Well, you see, Tallulah, I'm a lone wolf.
You and me both, brother. So, how about it, Bill? I'm just dying to go on the town. Will you be at my hotel at 8, darling?
Well, okay, I'll be there, I guess. Unless
what?
Unless I get hit by a French taxi. Who can be that lucky?
Well, hello. Oh, George Sanders, how are you?
Good evening, Tallulah. I'm sorry I kept you waiting. I was afraid you'd be gone.
Kept me waiting? You mean, did I? I mean, that is, well, you suppose? I mean, well, I didn't. I mean, like, what I mean to say is...
When you come to a good place to stop, stop.
Oh, do come in, George. I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, really?
Yes, you see, when I ran into you today at the Champs-Élysées, you didn't sound too sure you could come. Oh, may I present a friend of mine, Mr. Saunders? This is Monsieur Fernand Gravet.
How do you do, Mr. Saunders? I'm happy to know you.
Thank you. Haven't I met you before?
No, I don't think so.
Didn't I see you running down the Champs-Élysées this afternoon?
Oh, yes, that was just after I met, and when I was running from... That is, well, don't worry, when I come to a good place to stop, I'll stop.
Well, this is certainly an unexpected pleasure, having both you charming gentlemen. Oh, excuse me, there's somebody at the door. Well, Bill Gargan, hello, come in.
I'm not too late, huh?
Oh, not at all. Oh, Bill, did you bring those for me? What beautiful gloves. You shouldn't have.
I didn't. They're mine. Let go of them.
Oh, Bill, I want you to meet two very charming gentlemen. This is Monsieur Gravet, Mr. Gargan.
How do you do?
Hi.
And George Sanders. Do you know Bill Gargan?
I don't believe I've ever had the time.
I think I met you before. Didn't I see you running down the Champs-Élysées this afternoon?
There seems to be an echo here. Well, gentlemen, which will it be? One of you is taking me out tonight.
How about a hand of poker to see who takes her out?
Good, poker it is. Here's a deck of cards.
Stacked, I'll wager.
Oh, darling, that's the sweetest thing you've said to me all evening.
Now, please, Tallulah, no favoritism.
Okay, I've dealt each man a hand of poker. Oh, before you look at it, fellas, how about betting $1 on the side to make it more interesting?
I go along with that. Here's my dollar.
No, here's mine.
Well, I don't have a dollar. I have this 10,000 franc note.
Okay, put that in. You'll owe us the other 50 cents. Now, Fernand, what is your hand?
Well, I think I'll take 4 cards.
Oh, this isn't draw poker. What have you got?
Oh, a full house.
You think you have trouble? I have 4 aces.
4 aces? What's your next card?
What difference does it make? What have you got?
I must have walked under a ladder today. I got a straight flush.
Oh, excuse me, darling. Someone's at the door. Well, Portland Hoffer, what are you doing here?
Well, Fred couldn't make it, so he asked me to come.
Good. So long, Tallulah.
Perhaps some other time, Tallulah.
Good night, Tallulah. It's been quite dull.
Where did everybody go?
Now, never you mind, Portland. Come on. You and I are going for a walk on the Champs-Élysées. And here's the way we do it. We walk up and say, I beg your pardon. Haven't we met somewhere before? And then we say... And now, ladies and gentlemen, is the voice of one of France's singing stars, as well known in America as he is here, since he was one of the stars of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's American in Paris, as well as having appeared in the theater on Broadway last year. We hear him in Gershwin's Love Walked In, Monsieur Georges Guattari.
Love walked right in and drove the shadows away. Love walked right in and brought my sunniest day. One magic moment on my heart seemed to know that love said hello. Though not a word was spoken, one look and I forgot the gloom of the past. One look and I had found my future at last. One look and I had found a world completely new. When love walked in with you. I forgot the gloom of the past. One look and I had found my future at last. One look and I had found a world completely new. When love walked in, we
thank you, Georges Guattari. And now, darlings, if you'll give a moment to ring my chime, we'll be back with more stars as soon as I say that this is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Big Show. This portion of the Sunday night feature of NBC's All-Star Festival is brought to you transcribed by Chesterfield, the cigarette that gives you something new, something no other cigarette has. Chesterfield mildness, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. And by Anacin, for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And here again is the star of our show, Tallulah Bankhead.
Just a minute, Ed. We've got some pretty high-priced stars coming on here, darling. So let's take a little money in first. Let's all sound off for Chesterfield.
Sound off! Sound off!
Sound off for Chesterfield!
Chesterfields are on the move with something smokers all approve. Go north, go south, go east or west. It's Chesterfield you like the best.
sound off.
For Chesterfield.
Sound off.
For Chesterfield. Try a pack of Chesterfield.
Do it.
Today.
Chesterfield has something new no other brand can offer you. Mildness plus no aftertaste, no unpleasant aftertaste. Chesterfield.
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 Chesterfield. Milder, 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 milder.
Chesterfield.
That's right.
Science discovered what you can prove. You better get into the smoking groove. Yes, Chesterfield now sets the pace with no unpleasant aftertaste. So here's what we want you to do.
Right now.
Yes, here's what we want you to do.
Right now.
Sound off.
For Chesterfield.
Sound off.
For Chesterfield. Try a pack of Chesterfield.
Do it.
Good day.
When we came over to the continent from London, we were fortunate to find here one of the great ladies of the English music hall. We dragged her up here from her home in Capri to appear with us on the big show. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Gracie Fields. Gracie! Gracie, let's have some girl talk.
Who? You and me?
Why not?
Oh, well, it's been so long, Tallulah.
Now, Gracie, you know Paris better than I do. Now, my problem is that I simply cannot go back to the States without buying gifts for my friends. So far, I've been very selfish. I've been looking for gowns for myself. I think I've spent every day I've been here in a salon.
Oh, how do you spell that?
No, Gracie, I'm serious. Now, only this afternoon, I was in Schiaparelli's, and they're making me the most beautiful creation you ever saw. French beadings, the most gorgeous colored sequins, the sheerest lace. Oh, Gracie, it's going to be the most beautiful pair of slacks I've ever had.
That's a boy. But what were you saying about buying gifts to Lula?
Oh, yes, yes, gifts. Well, you see, I have to buy gifts to so many people back home. It's going to cost me a fortune.
Not if you buy perfume. Perfume is so cheap here in Paris, why, it's a shame to drink water with your meals.
It's a shame to drink what with my witch? As a matter of fact, all the bottles of perfumes I've been looking at have all been quite expensive.
Well, you don't have to send a large bottle. Give a small one. A dram is enough.
Darling, I don't give a dram.
Well, there's only one perfume I always use.
No?
It's an English perfume. I have it on now. It's very popular in England.
Oh, really, darling? What does it smell like?
Steak. Yeah. But the only trouble with it is the potatoes always get stuck in the atomizer.
Yeah. Oh, I did buy one perfume here that's sold in a set of two bottles. And one bottle is a perfume called Indiscretion.
Indiscretion? What's in the other bottle?
I don't know, but I had to take it three times a day. You know what might be an idea? How about sending some lingerie for gifts? You know, nightgowns, stockings, slips. Paris is known for its slips.
I didn't think the town made any difference to you, Tallulah.
Isn't she? Isn't she too sweet?
Here's an idea.
Yeah?
Why don't you get one of those little French poodles and send it to somebody as a gift?
French poodle? I never thought of that.
They make great companions, and they're very discreet. They don't understand a word of English. I have one. Her name's Madeline. I walk along the Champs-Élysées with her. I stand at the corner with the dog, and if a man comes along and speaks to us, I have a date. If a dog comes along, Madeline has a date.
Well, I don't think I want to buy a dog, Gracie.
Well, that's all the ideas I've got. As a matter of fact, I have my own problems about gifts to take back with me.
Well, now, how about a berry? It's French. Why don't you give a berry?
Oh, I've been waiting for this. Darling, I don't give a damn.
Well, Gracie, darling, that makes us even, except that you owe us a song. From The King and I, the smash hit on Broadway, Gracie Fields sings, I Whistle a Happy Tune. Meredith, if you please.
Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and
and whistle a happy tune. So no one will suspect, I'm afraid. While shivering in my shoes, I strike a careless pose and whistle a happy tune. And no one ever knows, I'm afraid. The result of this deception is very strange to tell. For when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well. I whistle a happy tune, and every single time, the happiness in the tune convinces me great. La la da 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 da, so no one will suspect, I'm afraid. And whistle a happy tune, and no one ever knows, I'm afraid. The result of this deception is very strange to tell. For when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well. I whistle a happy tune, and every single time, the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid. Make believe you're brave, and the trick will take you far. You can be as brave as you make believe you are. You can be as brave as you make believe you are.
And now, darling, here's a word from Ed Herlihy for Anacin.
No matter what you now take for headache relief, we urge you to try Anacin for the incredibly fast relief these tablets bring the next time you're suffering from a headache. Now, the reason Anacin is so wonderfully fast-acting and effective is this. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people have received envelopes containing Anacin tablets from their own dentist or physician, and in this way discovered the incredibly fast relief Anacin brings from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. So the next time a headache strikes, take Anacin for this wonderfully fast relief. Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N. Anacin at any drug counter in handy boxes of 12 and 30, economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100.
Now, darlings, we're honored to have as a guest on the big show one of Hollywood's most glamorous and most talented young actresses, Miss Joan Fontaine. One of Miss Fontaine's great picture triumphs was the adaptation of Stephen Zweig's moving dramatic story, Letter from an Unknown Woman. Tonight, Miss Joan Fontaine reenacts for us a radio version of that famous story. Mr. George Sanders will join Miss Fontaine in the presentation of this classic love story. As our scene opens, she is writing him a final letter.
Who have never known me. I have only you left in the world. Perhaps you will not be able to understand me. My head feels so heavy and my temples are throbbing, my limbs are aching. I think I must be feverish. Influenza is raging in these quarters and probably I too have caught the infection. You see, death is coming closer to me. And as I write, the darkness grows. You shall not read this until I am dead, for a dead woman wants nothing, asks nothing. I want you to know how I have loved you always, since I first saw you when I was only a child of 13, and you, already a successful young novelist, had come nearest to live. I know the very day and hour when I consciously gave my whole heart to you. I had been for a walk with a school friend, and we were standing in a doorway, chattering. A motor car drove up. You jumped out in the impatient fashion which has never ceased to charm me, and we're about to go in. An impulse made me open the door for you, and this brought me in your path so that we almost collided.
Oh, I'm sorry, little girl.
Oh, no, it was my fault, sir. I only wanted to open the door for you.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That was all. But you smiled at me so tenderly, and from this moment I was yours. I felt as though I had been bathed in fire. I believed that that tenderness was for me only. And in this one instant, the woman was awakened in the half-grown child, the woman who is to be yours for all future time. 5 years I watched you, dreamed of you, and carried my dreams like the Holy Grail in my hands, lest they be harmed or lost. And then the hour came when you first noticed me. I saw you coming from a distance, and it was all I could do to prevent myself shrinking out of your path. As chance would have it, a loaded dray filled the street so that you had to pass quite close to me. Involuntarily, your eyes passed over my figure, and immediately there came into your face that expression that was always there when you looked at women. The memory of it darted through me like an electric shock. I trembled. I longed for you to speak to me. Suddenly, I heard your step behind me. Without turning around, I knew I was about to hear your beloved voice addressing me. My heart beat so violently, I thought I would be unable to walk another step.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good is not the right word, of course. No one could have the right, the beautiful word for such a spring evening in Paris.
Only you, with your poet's words.
Ah, you know who I am.
Of course. You're not afraid of fame, are you?
Afraid of it? I welcome it with open arms. But I'd much prefer welcoming your lovely arm linked with mine. A spring evening like this would be wasted on the lonely.
Could you ever know loneliness?
I might, if you refuse to have supper with me.
I couldn't refuse you.
No?
You see, I've known too much of loneliness.
Ah, you're not only beautiful, you're deep, strange, mysterious.
Perhaps not so strange to myself. But you don't remember me, do you?
Of course I remember you. I wouldn't be likely to forget a face or a figure like yours, not ever.
But you have. You have.
Come. I can't bear mysteries. Not when they're so beautiful. And when I'm so hungry and so eager for wine.
Not forget me. Oh, my darling. We dined in a little restaurant. You will not remember where it was, just one of many. Oh, but how can I make you understand how much it meant to me that my 5 long years of waiting were to be fulfilled? It grew late, and we came away from the restaurant. At the door, you asked me whether I wouldn't come to your rooms for a talk. You were astonished at how quickly I said yes. A few breathless hours, and then the sweet, clean parting time of morning. As I was leaving, you put your arm around me and looked at me for a very long time. Was some obscure memory stirring in your mind, or was it simply that my radiant happiness made me seem beautiful to you? You kissed me on the lips, and I moved to go.
Wait, wouldn't you like to take a few flowers with you?
Yes, but may I have the white roses in the crystal vase?
The roses in the old vase?
Yes.
They're so beautiful.
Of course. The very thing for you. White roses.
The old blue crystal vase. Yes, I was to know it well. We met on the second night and on the third, and each morning there were roses for me to take away. And memories.
I'm afraid, my sweet, this is our last meeting for a while.
Our last?
Yes, I've been called away from Paris for a time, but as soon as I return, you will hear from me.
Day after day, for 2 months, I asked myself, no, I will not describe the anguish of my expectation and my despair. I make no complaint. I love you just as you are, ardent, forgetful, generous, and unfaithful. I love you just as you have always been. You were back long before the 2 months were up. The light in your window showed me that, but you did not write me. In my last hours, I have not a line from you to whom my life was given. I waited, waited. You did not call to me, did not write a word, not a word. So many years have passed. The timid girl was a woman now. Beautiful, it was said. I had fine clothes. I was surrounded by admirers. But how could you recognize in me the shy girl you had known in the dim light of your rooms? Then came the fateful hour. We were to meet again. That evening I had gone to the theater and on to dancing. Normally I would not have done this, nor have drunk champagne as I did this night. But I seemed to have no control over myself. Something, some mysterious force seemed to be urging me on. Oh, no, don't stop. They mustn't stop. Play on. Then I saw you. For the first time in 10 years, you were looking at me again as you had looked that night so long ago. I began to tremble. I managed to smile. You came toward me, and in a moment, I had left my partner without a word.
You are the most beautiful, the most ravishing, the most exciting woman I've ever seen.
And you have never seen me before?
Only in my dreams. Dreams that could not possibly come true. Am I still dreaming, or do you have an hour to spare for me?
An hour? Yes. Even a lifetime.
Your rap?
I'll not wait for it. Take me with you. Now. Morning. As fresh and clean as the morning you said goodbye to me in those same dear rooms 10 years before. And now at the time of another parting, you did not even ask my name nor where I lived. Once again, you told me you were to start on a long journey. Then I saw the white roses I had sent you and the old crystal vase. Will you give me one of your white roses?
Certainly.
But perhaps they were given you by a woman. A woman who loves you.
Maybe. I don't know. They're a present. I get them every year. But I don't know who sends them. That's why I'm so fond of them.
Perhaps they were sent to you by a woman you could have loved.
Perhaps. I don't know.
It is quite dark, my beloved. I cannot write much more. The candle that burns for me is burning low. Perhaps when you receive this letter, you will call to me.
And for the first time, I shall be unfaithful to you. For I shall not hear you in the sleep of death. But, beloved, my death will not harm you. This comforts me. But who, yes, who will send you white roses now? The vase will be empty. No longer will come that breath, that aroma from my life, which once a year was breathed into your room. I have one last request, the first and the last. Do it for my sake. Always on that day, find some roses and put them in that vase. Do it just as others, once a year, say a mass for the beloved dead. I love none but you. Only in you do I wish to go on living. Just one day in a year, softly, quietly, as I have always lived near you. Please do this, my darling. Please. My first request and my last. I love you. And now, goodbye.
Thank you. Thanks. Both to Joan Fontaine and George Sanders. Joan, my sweet, come over here. Oh, I don't have to tell you how your performance threw me. Look at me, I'm crying. If I'd known it was going to be that good, I'd have played it myself.
I wish you'd told me, Tallulah. I'm sure George wouldn't have minded if you played his part.
Now, is that a nice thing to say, Joan? After the way I wept for you because that cad in the story treated you so badly.
George did treat me rather shabbily, didn't he?
Treat you shabbily? He does it to everybody. Look at what he did to me. Comes on my show and sings.
George, you're enjoying your singing.
Oh, where are you working now, my dear?
Well, I just finished a picture in England, and when I get back to the States, Paramount wants me to do 3 pictures.
F-R-K-O.
It's been some years since you made a picture, Tallulah.
Well, it's not because they didn't want me. They wanted to sign me to 3 sequels to Lifeboat.
Yes, I can imagine. Lifeboat's Little Dividend, Lifeboat of the Apes, and Canoe, Son of Lifeboat.
All right, Buster, if you want to play it that way. I didn't want to tell you this, darling. They offered me that picture you made when it was called Letter from a Known. And then when I turned it down and you got the part and they changed the title, well, figure it out for yourself. Forced me to say it. What did you think? You were playing with children?
Children?
How can anyone look so clean and laugh so dirty?
Say, Tallulah, I have an idea.
Oh, Fred, come here, sweet Fred. May I present my very good friend, Joan Fontaine?
How do you do, Mr. Allen?
How do you do, Miss Fontaine? I certainly enjoyed you in that sketch, Letter from an Unknown Woman. So unknown, I couldn't even recognize you in the script here. You know that you are the only... You are the only girl I ever heard of who died from writer's cramp.
Well, I certainly wouldn't kill myself over a man. If I'd played the part, I would have done it differently. Fred, would you play the part of the man?
Natulik. It's sort of a character part for me, but certainement.
Meredith, a little mood music, if you please. To you who have never known me, I have only you left in the world. I must get this off you before it is too late. Oh, my darling, my temples are throbbing. My limbs are aching. My head feels so heavy. What a hangover. You shall not read this until I'm dead. For a dead woman wants nothing, asks nothing. Just some flowers. Maybe a little candy. And my favorite song, I'll be seeing you in all your familiar places. A recording of mine now on sale at all music stores. I know the better day and hour when I gave my heart to you. Your bicycle was standing at the curb, and I noticed one of the tires was flat. I loved you so much I started to put some air into the tire. And then when you came out of the house, you found me there, breathless. I was putting in the air without a bicycle pump. That's when you first noticed me.
Get away from that bicycle, boy.
Years I watched you, dreamed of you. Then came the day you first noticed me. From the distance I saw you coming up the path. I stood there unable to move, and as you drew closer I noticed your eyes involuntarily sweep over my figure.
Get out of the way of this bicycle.
It was 2 years before our paths crossed again. I'll never forget that day. I hadn't thought I'd ever see you again, and I was so glad I was looking my best in my new blue sweater.
Care to ride on my bicycle, miss?
When I was ready to go, you put your arms around me and looked at me for a very long time. And then you said,
wouldn't you like to take these with you? These 4 white roses?
Yes, so beautiful.
Of course. The very thing for you. 4 roses.
That was the beginning of this very faithful end. Every year there have been 4 roses. You were away so long and I was so lonesome, I couldn't wait. I bought the 4 roses myself. And that is why now, beloved, I have one last request. Always on that day, buy 4 roses. And send it to me. I won't be here, of course. Just send them to Flowers Anonymous. Well, darlings, that's our big show from Paris. Now it's back home to America. Next week, I'm going to have the biggest thrill I've ever had in all my years in the theater. Because coming from as far away as 1,500 miles to attend our performance in the Center Theater in New York will be the Southern Show Train. A train load of Southern ladies and gentlemen from New Orleans, Natchez, Mississippi, Birmingham, Memphis, Atlanta, Columbus, Georgia, and Montgomery, Alabama. Natch. I'll be on hand to greet all my old friends wearing my typical Southern costume, hoop slacks. Our guests on the program will be Fred Allen, Jimmy Durante, Portland Hoffer, Ethel Merman, George Sanders, Herb Schreiner, Meredith Wilson, and others. Right now, we want to thank Paris for being so kind to us and so gay for us. May the good Lord bless and keep you. whether near or far away. Joan?
May you find that long-awaited golden day today. Bill?
May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10. Bernand?
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. Portland?
May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree.
George?
May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Gracie?
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been. Fred?
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. George?
May you long recall each rainbow, then you'll soon forget the rain. May the warm and tender memories be the ones that will remain.
Be the waves will sweep tomorrow, never mind what might have been.
May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet. Till we meet.
Good night, darlings.
The Big Show is produced and directed by D. Engelbach, written by Goodman Ace, Selma Diamond, George Foster, Mort Green, and Frank Wilson. Special musical arrangements by Sidney Fine. This is Ben Smith saying good night.
This portion of The Big Show, a feature of NBC's All-Star Festival, has been brought to you transcribed by Chesterfield, which brings you the greatest lineup of talent in radio and television history. Fred Allen, Arthur Godfrey, Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, Jerry Lester, Perry Como, and Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. And by Anacin, for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. An American version of Dr. Knox, starring William Gaxton, will be presented on Broadway by John Krinsky in the near future. Letter from an Unknown Woman, a Rampart production, was presented through the courtesy of Universal International Studios, who are now releasing The Golden Horde, co-starring Anne Blythe and David Farrar. This is Ed Hurley, he's speaking.
Hear Phil Harris and Alice Faye tonight on NBC.